We're talking about being intentional for Christmas. And what I mean by that is being intentionally narrowing our focus down to where we are worshiping and magnifying the true reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. And this morning, we looked at that from Matthew chapter number 2, the account of the wise men coming to Herod, asking the question, where is the king? King of the Jews, and we looked at that situation and tried to make some points from that. I hope those things were helpful to you. Tonight, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Before we do that, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight and for the privilege that we have to read it and to study it and to preach from it. We understand that not everyone has the Word so readily available to them, and so help us not to take it for granted. And God, I pray that you would help us with understanding. We understand that it is a spiritual book, and only through the Spirit can we understand it, that the natural man cannot understand the things of God. And so we ask you to help us tonight. First, speak through the pulpit tonight, speak through me and speak to your people from your word, and then give us all understanding and ability to receive and to comprehend what exactly you want us to know tonight. May all bring glory and honor to your name, and we'll be thankful and help and pray for and thankful for you allowing us to be intentional this Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And all God's people said. Now this text in 1 John just doesn't immediately strike us as a Christmas text, does it? Because it's not describing the birth of Christ. However, though John is not recounting these events, he is giving us a concise explanation of what the incarnation means. And I want to go along those routes tonight. So let me begin by talking about the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas. Lots of messages about Christmas are out there, but what is the message of Christmas? Now notice how John describes Jesus in this passage. In verse 1, He is the Word of life. In verse 2, He is life manifested, and He is eternal life. So John here is describing Christ as the life, spiritual life and eternal life. And is not the message of Christmas, God has given to us life. Where there was nothing but darkness and deadness, God has sent life. And the life is Jesus Christ. Notice here the character of Christ. What John is saying here, if you're careful to see it, what John is saying here is not simply that Jesus has eternal life as a possession. We may say that, well, Jesus has in his possession eternal life. That's not what he's saying. He's not even saying that Jesus Christ comes and takes on flesh and gives us eternal life as a gift. That's not what he's saying either. What John is saying here, and what we have to understand, is that Jesus Christ himself is life. Jesus Christ himself is eternal life. He is the Word of life. He is life manifested. He is eternal life. Not that he has a life as a possession or that he gives life. He is life. So understand, Christ is salvation itself. He doesn't point to eternal life, but because Jesus is God in the flesh and come in the flesh, he is eternal life. And to be united to him in faith is to have life. Know this. You can't have life without having Christ. You can't take life from Christ and not have him. He is life. To have Christ is to have life. And that's period. There's nothing to add to that. Nothing to achieve on top of that. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. Period. And if you don't have him, you don't have life. So every religion that doesn't proclaim Christ as the life is a failing religion. Jesus is life, and he is life eternal. To have Christ is to have life. So that's why we should be telling people, it's not, do you want life? Do you want eternal life? Do you want Christ? Because if you don't want Christ, you can't have life. And you can't just have life without having Christ. Amen? Nobody wants to die and go to hell, right? Everybody wants eternal life when this is all over with, but you can't have life without having Christ. He is. The very character of Christ is he is life. Notice secondly here, not only the character of Christ, but notice the communion that comes through Christ. Now, John here says that they have, the apostles, they have heard him. They have seen him. They have looked upon him. They have handled him. In other words, we've seen life. We've experienced life. We are the witnesses to life. And we are here to show you life. They declare it to others so that others may have Christ and have life as well. Now what John is saying here is this. By saying they've heard it, seen it, looked upon it, handled it, what they're saying is Jesus Christ was a reality. God really left heaven and came to earth. We were talking about it this morning after the service. The God who is bigger than everything he made becomes small, becomes the smallest, becomes a baby. Life is available in Christ Jesus. So the Christmas story is not just a story of a cute little baby in a stable, but it is the story that life has come from God and it's available to all who will receive it. The message of Christmas is that sinful man who has rebelled against God, who are enemies of God, who are sentenced to eternally be separated from God, can now have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, who is life. the Christmas story is not some physical, secular story. It's a spiritual story about life, about salvation. Christmas is the message that urges people, have fellowship with Him. Come to Christ. Have fellowship with God only through Christ. Isn't that the message of Christmas? Fellowship with God is now possible through Christ Jesus, who is life. The Christmas message is that you, sinful man, can be reconciled with God. All things can become new. Why? Because of Christmas. Fellowship with God and eternal life in Christ Jesus, that's the message of Christmas. And any other thing is just to blur what is already evident and true. The message of Christmas. God really did come. And He came in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the life. And all that will receive Christ by faith as Savior and Lord can have life and can have peace with God for eternity. That's the Christmas message. Amen? We should be embarrassed. We should be embarrassed that that's not our message. Amen? Number two, the method of Christmas. The message of Christmas and then the method of Christmas. Now I want to dive in a little bit deeper here into what John says and what he doesn't say. What he does say is he magnifies the glory of God. That's his method. Why is Christmas the way Christmas is? Why is salvation the way it is? Why is forgiveness the way it is? Why is peace with God, reconciliation with God, why is it the way that it is? And the answer is for the glory of God. This life, Jesus Christ, the life, John says, was with the Father, right? He was with the Father and is manifested to us. Do you see that? The life was with the Father. Eternity past, Christ, Jesus, has always existed. Amen? He was with the Father. Yet in time, He was manifest with us. Now I want you to know something tonight. The Christmas story is not something that Charles Dickens wrote. The Christmas story is something that God Himself wrote. It is God who so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. The Son was with Him, manifest to us. How did that happen? God the Father, loving the world, gave His Son. It is the God who enjoyed the non-ending fellowship with the Son who gave Him to us. It is the Son who enjoyed the non-ending fellowship with His Father who took on flesh and came to us. Christmas is not man pleading with God, send us a Savior, send us a Savior, do something with our sins. That's not what Christmas is. Christmas is God initiating the fellowship between God and man. It is not man reaching out to God. Christmas is God reaching down to man. The offended party providing the means for forgiveness. Christmas is God going to great, infinite lengths to make Himself one that we can know. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Somebody help me. God being spirit is invisible. The invisible God is made visible in the person of Jesus Christ. The only way we can know God is through Christ. The only way we can fellowship with God is in Christ. The only way we can be reconciled back to God is in Christ. The only way we can have peace with God is in Christ. The only way we can have eternal life with God is in Jesus Christ. Man didn't write the story. God wrote the story. And it was God who reached down to man, all for the glory of God. But I want to show you something here that John doesn't say. And I want to put that under the heading of not only the glory of God, but the grace of God. This is why Christmas should be special to those in the church. This is why we should be very protective of what happens in our homes, in our churches, about Christmas. If you will notice what John says here, that Christ was from the beginning. He was with God. He was manifest to us. And poor, illiterate fishermen, tax collectors, not the noble, the insignificant, were able to hear him, see him, handle him. And nowhere in this text were there any qualifications to receive him. None. No works were to be done. No standards were to be met. In reality, the idea that we have to strive to be better and try harder and live a good life to have eternal life is really saying we're not so bad that we need a Savior. We're not so dead that we can't pull ourselves together and live like we should. And Christmas says that is a lie. Say amen. Christmas says salvation by works, or salvation by any other means but by grace, is a lie. Christmas is God providing life in Jesus Christ, and there is nothing for man to do but to receive Him as Lord and Savior. That's all. What do I need to do? Nothing. What do I need to add? Nothing. Well, don't I have to qualify? No. Well, don't I have to do something? No. God has done it all. All you have to do is receive it. Believe it. Receive it by faith. It is by grace that we are saved, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So here's the deal. No matter how bad you are, you can have Christ. No matter how good you are, you can have Christ. No matter what you've done, you can have Christ. No matter what you haven't done, you can have Christ. Fellowship is available to everyone because salvation is by grace. The forgiveness of our sins is available to all because it is by grace. The message of Christmas is that fellowship with God is available through Jesus Christ, who is life, and you don't have to do anything to make it happen. God did it all. And you simply have to receive Him by faith to have life. I don't know about you. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I didn't come up on the wealthy side of town. I wasn't blessed with a lot of natural abilities. But you see, that makes me a prime candidate for salvation. Because like I said this morning to someone, Jesus came and took the lowest position so that he could save everyone above him. Amen? And that's you and that's me. That's Christmas. Why are we being so distracted by messages that's not that? God sent His Son, life, to give me life, and I had to do nothing to gain it, did nothing to deserve it, but I have it by faith. That's the Christmas message. Life by grace for the glory of God. Well, you were quiet this morning and you're more quieter tonight. I would think this would have the church shouting. I think you're troubled, like Herod, that I'm going to infringe on your traditions. I hope God infringes on your traditions. Number three, the meaning of Christmas. The message of Christmas is what? God gave His Son, Christ, who is life. Fellowship, reconciliation, peace with God is available through Christ. It comes to us by the giving of God for the glory of God, and it comes to us by grace, so all who desire Christ can have Him. Everyone who desires salvation can be saved. But look at verse 4. Notice what John says. And these things, what things? These things about Christ, right? The life, the Word of life, eternal life. That they handled Him, that they seen Him, that they heard Him, that they touched Him, that He was with God, manifest to us. These things we write to you so that, what is the reason? That your joy may be full. The songwriter said, joy to the world, the Lord has come. The angel said that they were bringing glad tidings of what? Great joy. The meaning of Christmas is what? Joy. And everything that the world has made Christmas about is not joy. Fighting traffic to get to a store is not joyful. Amen? Getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday is not joyful. Everything that the world has added to Christmas doesn't make it really joyful. Because what John here says is that the cause of our joy, the reason why we have joy, is Christ. And the reason why people have to add everything else to Christmas that doesn't belong is because they don't know God through Christ, therefore they don't have that joy. And so because they don't have the joy that comes through reconciliation with God through Christ, because they don't have life that brings joy, they must find joy in other things. And so they add those to Christmas because they have not found joy in Christ. We talked to a couple on our vacation. We were trying not to talk to people on vacation. That was the plan. So you go into the dining room and they say, would you like to sit with other people or would you like to sit by yourself? We would like to sit by ourselves. But they set us by ourselves next to somebody. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Nine. And they were ordering Bloody Marys. And we began talking to them, and they began to speak of holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the lady began to speak about Christmas being about, hey, listen, all of the children are coming to our house, and we're going to be together, and all the children and all the grandchildren are coming, and we're going to all be together on Christmas Day. And as she spoke that, she beamed with joy. No mention of Jesus. No mention of God. No mention of forgiveness. No mention of peace. No mention of salvation. What was going to bring her joy on Christmas was that all of her family was going to be together for a few hours. You see, the world must find things that bring them joy because they do not have the joy that is in Christ. They have to piece together some temporal patches of joy instead of experiencing the permanent joy that we have by having life in Christ Jesus. The joy, listen, the joy is that once we were strangers, the joy is once we were outside of the covenant of God, the joy is that we were strangers and aliens, and we have now been brought near, and those that have been estranged from God now have fellowship with God. Those who were enemies with God now are friends with God through Jesus Christ by the grace and the work of God. That brings me joy. What brings me joy? I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Joy is that sinners once condemned to hell have found peace with God, forgiveness of their sins, and eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's joy. And she knew nothing of it and had to find something else to make Christmas about so that she could have a few hours of temporal, manufactured joy. Are you with me? The cause of joy is Christ, is eternal life, is peace with God, fellowship with God, fellowship with the saints, fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's the salvation that comes to us by God through Christ Jesus that we have by God-given faith. That's the joy that we have in our heart that Christmas should stimulate us to say, yes! This is the day that the Lord was born. This is the day that God sent life to the deadness of this earth. This is the day that salvation became possible for us. This is the day that my Lord came to save my soul. The cause of joy, and then lastly, the completeness of joy. In Christ there is life. In Christ there is peace with God. In Christ there is fellowship with God. In Christ there is eternal life. And John says here that in Christ there is complete our fullness of joy. We tell you these things about life. We tell you these things about Christ. We tell you these things about the manifestation of God. We tell you these things about fellowship with us and God and Christ. We tell you these things. Why? So that your joy will be full or complete. In whom? In Christ. Of course, we understand that the great theologian once wrote, Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. So here's my question. If you took away all the trees, all the Christmas trees, you took away all the decorations, you took away the families getting together, you took away the presents from under the tree, You took away all the sappy movies we watch about Christmas. You took it all away. Would it still be a joyful Christmas? If it was just another ordinary day, would it still be a day that would bring you full joy? You know, we talk about families getting together. You understand that the wise men left their families to seek after Christ? And were away from their families for 2 years seeking after Christ? That Christmas wasn't a family reunion. It was about Christ, right? If you took it all away, if you weren't getting anything for Christmas, if you weren't buying anything for Christmas, if your house was just void of any festive decorations, if none of the family were getting together, would you still have joy on the 25th? And I would say this, for a true believer, you would. Because our joy is complete and full in Jesus Christ, who has given us life. Our joy. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. Are you not amazed? Are you not amazed that of all the people who've ever lived, think of all the people who have never heard of Christ, all the people who've never been preached about Christ, all the people who've never experienced Christ, yet you have. Do you not stand amazed that you? You. There's nothing special about you. That you who were once condemned to die and go to hell, you have been given pardon. You have been given reprieve. You that were dead in your trespasses and sins, you have been given life. You that were enemies of God now have been brought into a friendship with God. Does it amaze you that you've heard Him, seen Him, handled Him, experienced Him, received Him, and now you are the witnesses of that truth? We are to have Christ as our joy. The message of Christmas is God has sent His Son life, to bring life to deadness. The method is by grace, so that we may have joy. Those who receive Christ as Savior and Lord, who also have life by having Christ, that their joy may be full. To those who receive Christ, there's joy. And my hope is that our joy be in Christ alone. And may our joy be full and complete in Him, in need of nothing else to bring us joy. The family coming is great. The decorations are pretty. But if they weren't there, it wouldn't hinder our joy, because our joy is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is the King? Where is the King? He's where my joy is. My joy is in Him. Dear Heavenly Father, may You bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word today. May You speak to our hearts. Help us to be intentional as we move toward Christmas Day. Help us to be intentional so that we are not distracted and we are not blown to and fro by every fad of the world, but that we stand amazed that sinners like us could have life and have eternal life through Christ Jesus, who is the life. And may that reality, may that truth of our salvation in Christ, may it bring us great joy. Christ has come, and that makes us joyful. Christ has brought life to us. That makes us joyful. We are saved in Christ. That makes us joyful. We are reconciled to God in Christ. That makes us joyful. So joyful that nothing can be added to it. It is full. May that be our Christmas, and may that be our witness, that others may fellowship with us because they can fellowship with God and with Christ through the work and the death of Christ our Lord. May that be what we proclaim. May that be what we find our joy in Christmas. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.